The House will come to order. Today is Wednesday, February 27th, 2008. This is the 13th day of the 2008 budget session of the 59th Wyoming Legislature. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Here. Anderson. Here. Bagby. Here. Berger. Berger. Blake. Here. Brechtel. Here. Brown. Here. Buchanan. Here. Childers. Here. Kraft. Here. Davison. Here. Dirks. Here. Dockstetter. Here. Edmonds, here. Edwards, here. Esquivel F, here. Esquivel K, here. Gilmore, here. Gingery, here. Goggles, here. Hales, here. Hallinan, here. Hammonds, here. Harshman, here. Harvey, here. Eichel, here. Illaway, here. Yagi, here. Jones, here. Jorgensen, here. Landon, here. Lockhart, here. Lebno, here. Madden, here. Martin, here. McComey, Mercer, here. Meyer, here. Miller, here. Millen, here. Olson, here. Peterson, here. Philp, here. Korberg, here. Samuelson, here. Simlek, here. Shepperson, here. Simpson, here. Slater, here. Stewart, here. Stubson, here. Teeters, here. Thompson, here. Throne, here. Wallace, here. Warren, here. White, here. Swanitzer Dan, here. Swanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker, here. 60 present.
Our prayer for the day will be offered by the Pastor Ernest Fitzhugh, representing Unity Missionary Baptist Church, Cheyenne. Pastor Fitzhugh.
Good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. It is a beautiful day. Let's bow our heads. Blessed Lord, we thank you for allowing us once again to gather together in this place to carry out the work that has been assigned to our hands. We acknowledge our inability to do those things or do any good without your guidance. We ask that you guide these legislatures, these men and these women, send your Holy Spirit among them to open their eyes to see the things your way. Bend over their wills, O God, and head them in the right direction. We ask that you bless them with the blessing that they stand in need of. Bless their families, their surroundings, their children, and all things conforming to them. And Lord, allow them to come together in cohesiveness and to unity as they formulate laws to govern this state, this nation. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity once again just to be able to say something in their behalf. We thank you for that diligence. We thank you, God, for just allowing them to be here. We thank you for this day. Now bless them as they go forth in doing those duties and allow them to do it in unity, helping each other and supporting each other. And these things I do pray in almighty and precious name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Please join me in our Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of
the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I know about the bite early, but
see you tomorrow.
That's true.
Good day, Pastor.
You too, sir.
I think you got their attention and answered you right away.
Nice prayer. I was going to make sure that I do it. Yeah.
Thank you.
The House will come to order. The reading clerk will read the Journal Committee report.
Mr. Speaker, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February 26th has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Teeters, Representative Millen.
Representative Dan Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Members of the legislature, I'd like to introduce you to someone you already all know, Representative Dave Zwanitzer. He has been a heck of a good father for the last 28 years, and at 3:54 this morning, he became a grandfather, and I became an uncle, if you'd make him welcome.
Representative Landon.
Mr. Speaker, I wish to re-refer Senate File 31 from your Committee Number 10, Labor, to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. That's the Domestic Violence Counseling period.
Without objection, Senate File 31 is re-referred from Committee Number 10 to Committee Number 1. Representative Semlick.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Mr. Speaker, members of the House, On the banks of the Keyhole Reservoir, near the fastest growing community in Wyoming, we have with us this morning in the North Balcony a council member from Pine Haven, Joe Slattery. Welcome to the House, Joe.
Messages from the Senate.
Message number 6. Mr. Speaker, the Senate has completed consideration of the budget bill, House Bill 1, in accordance with Joint Rule 14-1. The bill has been referred to a conference committee to meet with a like conference committee from the House to report recommended amendments for final consideration by both houses with respect to both budget bills, Senate File 1 and House Bill 1, and the amendments thereto. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 169. Mr. Speaker, the Senate adopted the Committee of the Whole report, failing the bills listed below by the vote indicated. House Bill 38, Medicaid Provider Reimbursements, ayes 13, no 17. The bill has been indefinitely postponed. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 170. Mr. Speaker, the President appointed Senate conferees to meet with a like committee, number 1, from the House on amendments to House Bill 1. The Senate conferees are Senator Nicholas, Chairman, Senator Job, Senator Meyer, Senator Peterson, Senator Townsend. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk.
The duties of our doctor of the day will be assumed by two folks, Dr. Edith Wilson and Dr. Renee Hinkle, both of Cheyenne. The nurse of the day will be Mary Kay Getter from the Cheyenne Regional Medical Center. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. Members of the House, many of you know that the Senate is doing all it can to work on House bills. That hasn't necessarily been the case over the last 4 or 5 budget sessions. Out of that respect, it has been agreed to by the President of the Senate and myself that bills reported out of committee, which normally, or which was on the calendar scheduled for Friday, this coming Friday, will now be moved to where we will accept bills being reported out of committee by noon on Monday. For you chairmen that are meeting on Monday, that means that as long as we can read the standing committee report as we come back into session at 2 p.m. on Monday, they will be allowed. Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred Senate File 28, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Anderson, Escobel, Kay, Gilmore, Madden, Miller, Semlek, Stubson, Swanitzer, Dave, No, Lubno, signed Representative Anderson, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 76, engrossed, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Brown, Childers, Kraft, Davison, Goggles, Eichel, Yagi, Slater, Thompson. Signed, Representative Childers, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 81, respectfully reports same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Brown, Childers, Kraft, Davison, Goggles, Eichel, Yagi, Slater, Thompson. Signed, Representative Childers, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 87, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Brown, Childers, Kraft, Davison, Goggles, Eichel, Yagi, Slater, Thompson. Signed, Representative Childers, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate File 25, engrossed, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Blake, Edwards, Escobel F., Hallinan, Hammonds, Madden, Slater, White, Swanitzer, Dave. Signed, Representative Edwards, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate File 30, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Blake, Edwards, Escobel F., Hallinan, Hammonds, Madden, Slater, White, Swanitzer, Dave. Signed, Representative Edwards, Chairman.
We are now at that order of business of bills on second reading. Chairman Childers.
Mr. Speaker, I would like to re-refer Senate File 87 to appropriations, Capitol Building Restoration. It does have several appropriations in it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Without objection, Senate File 87 will be re-referred from Committee Number 6 to Committee Number 2. We are now at that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 6.
Senate File 6, introduced by the Mental Health, an act relating to hospitalization of mentally ill persons.
Senate File 6 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 10.
Senate File 10, introduced by Mental Health, an act relating to mental health and substance abuse appropriations.
Senate File 10, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 44.
Senate File 44, introduced by the Mineral Committee, an act relating to Wyoming Residential Mortgage Practices Act.
There is an amendment. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 44. You have a corrected copy, and I'd like to divide the amendment, Mr. Speaker, in a variety of places. Division number 1 would be lines 18 and 19. Division 2 would be lines 20 through 37. And lines 1 through 12 on page 2. So Division 2 on page 1, lines 20 through 37, and lines 1 through 12 on page 2. Division 3, lines 38 through 42. Division 4, lines 43 and 44. Division 5, lines 45 and 46. And Division 6 would be lines 1 through 17 and 13 and 14 on page 2. Those are just conforming amendments, so I made them Division 6.
So, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, on page 1, lines 13 through 17 are part of Division 6?
That's correct, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Speaker.
And on page 2, lines 1 through 12?
Are part of Division 2.
3.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Speaker, let me just run through it again. Division 1 is lines 18 and 19 on page 1. Division 2 is on lines 20 through 37 on page 1, and on page 2, lines 1 through 12. Division 3, lines 38 through 42 on page 1. Division 4, lines 43 and 44 on page 1. Division 5, lines 45 and 46 on page 1. And then Division 6 is lines 1 through 17 on page 1 and lines 13 and 14 on page 2, which are the conforming amendments.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that would be lines 13 through 17, correct, for page 1?
Mr. Speaker, why do you say that?
Somehow I got confused. On page 1, lines 1 through 12 are division number 6, 1 through 17. Okay.
Yes, 1 through 17, Mr. Speaker.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Division number 1 is page 3 of the bill, and if you begin at the bottom of page 2, or really midway through page 2, these are the powers and duties of the commissioner to regulate mortgage brokers and mortgage lenders. And at the top of page 3, lines 1 through 3, they would be able to require the licensee to reimburse the borrower for actual damages for any amount in excess of amounts actually disclosed to the borrower. And this bill has provisions about what is required to be disclosed, an early good faith estimate within 3 days of the application, and then a final Truth in Lending Act disclosure also. What concerns me about this subparagraph is that I haven't been able to find this anywhere else in statute, whether it relates to banking or real estate, where we're actually saying the commissioner can make someone pay actual damages. And it doesn't reflect whether those damages came from the act of the lender or the mortgage broker. And there are times when the mortgage broker may not be aware if the lender has failed to disclose something, but we're making the broker liable for the actual damages that might come from the acts of the lender, and I don't believe that's fair. I also don't believe that the language is clear enough as what it relates to with regard to any amount. I think it's probably intended to cover fees that are referenced in other parts of the statute, but I would like to take this section out because I want it to be fair. I don't want mortgage brokers or lenders to have to be subject to particularly difficult and onerous provisions that don't apply to other industries in Wyoming. It's not to say that paragraph couldn't be fixed or be made more clear as to what it refers to, but I think it simply needs to come out. So that's my rationale on division number 1, Mr. Speaker. And I think most of these divisions are fairly independent, and we could just vote on each division, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion on division number one. The motion is to adopt second reading amendment number one. Representative Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, or Mr. Speaker. The good majority leader spoke to me the other day, and he said, I wanted to give you a little time on some amendments, and so he asked for a deferral of one day. He gave me a little time this morning, and we've now got a corrected copy in front of us. So I would like to make sure that we understand these changes, because there was a lot of work done in the interim to get the right language in here, working with the Banking Commission and realtors and so forth. And so with regard to amendment number one, the deletion on page three, lines one through three, I would like to ask the good representative from northeast Casper to comment on the proposed amendment.
Representative Hales.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As far as the responsibility of the lender and the mortgage broker, once the loan is completed with the lender, that loan is then sold to the mortgage broker. There is no recourse once that loan is sold. If the mortgage lender makes a mistake, the normal practice is for them to come up with the damages, as in any transaction. If a realtor makes a mistake, then they also pay for whatever damages they cause. But you're not putting any problems on the mortgage broker, because they're out of the picture once that loan has been sold to them. So you've got, you know, the three different steps there.
Further discussion. Chairman Lockhart.
I am against the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment. This verbiage was put in there as best could be done by hard work over a long period of time, and it's the licensee is to reimburse the borrowers for actual damages, and there was a fair amount of discussion about how that really identified those kinds of things that should be appropriately be reimbursed if someone was in any way misled. I would urge your support of the defeat of the amendment.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have to respectfully disagree with the objections to this and the statements that once the loan is completed, that loan is sold to the mortgage broker. That may happen occasionally, but what typically happens is the mortgage broker is in contact with the customer. They enter into an agreement where that broker will then shop that loan to the lenders and then provide a commitment to the borrower. And the borrower can then decide whether they want to go with the loan. Once the loan is closed, it can certainly be sold to the secondary market, but it doesn't affect the ability of anyone to go after either the mortgage broker or the lender for failing to disclose fees. There are two provisions in this statute, the Residential Mortgage Practices Act, and they're actually in this bill. On page 7 is 4023.113, that's disclosure of mortgage lender fees, and 4023.114 on page 9, disclosure of mortgage broker fees. So again, if the mortgage broker is being held responsible for a failure to disclose of the mortgage lender, That's what this language says, and can include it because it doesn't exclude it. I say it's not fair, it's too broad, it's an extremely broad regulatory power, and I don't think we should allow it and remove it from the bill. Certainly a lot of work has gone into this bill, as any bill requiring residential mortgage practices or anything like that. It's fairly complicated, and I'm not denigrating that at all. I'm just saying I don't agree with it, and I would like you to agree with me. Thank you.
The motion is to adopt second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 44, Division 1, which on your amendment is lines page 1, lines 18 and 19, in reference to the bill. It is page 3, lines 1 through 3. All of those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All of those opposed to the motion signify by saying no.
No.
Division number 1 has been adopted.
Mr. Chairman, I move Division 2 to House Bill Senate File 44, second reading amendment number 1. And folks, if you go to page 4, the bottom, this is section 107. An application for license may be granted if the commissioner finds, and you'll see the language in Romanet 2 that is being amended. The applicant has not been convicted of any felony or a misdemeanor involving any aspect of the business. Now, you'll see in the language in the bill, we're striking or a misdemeanor involving any aspect of the business, and then if you go to page 5, you'll see a new Romanet 3 that then brings in the misdemeanor concept again into a separate subparagraph and ties it to a misdemeanor involving mortgage lending or any aspect of the mortgage lending business, or any offense involving breach of trust or fraudulent or dishonest dealing. I like that. I like Romanet 3. I don't like breaking out a felony and saying that it applies to any felony. If you have any felony, you cannot then work in the mortgage business in Wyoming. And I put in felony into folios, and I like to think I know how to use folio, but it did not show up anywhere in Title 13, which is the banking regulations, and I didn't see it in their real estate. Although, you know, it may be a condition of some of the licensure that any felony related to that business or involving fraud or financial misconduct certainly would disqualify you. But the intent of Amendment Division 2 on page 1, and then also on page 2 of the amendment that goes back into page 14 of the bill, where we see this nearly identical language, but it also covers on page 14. It also covers in the Romanet 11 in the bill the license of any partner, officer, director, manager, the licensee, or any partner, officer, director, manager, or employee of the licensee has been convicted of a misdemeanor. I would like that to read, has been convicted of a felony or misdemeanor involving mortgage, lending, any aspect, etc., and not have that separate paragraph where it says any felony and you're not eligible. I mean, I certainly have had clients over the years who got a felony early in their maybe when they're 18 or 19 or 20, that had nothing whatsoever to do with whether they were trustworthy or had committed fraud. And we're simply saying, if you have a felony, you can't participate. I understand the outcry in the country about the subprime mortgage crisis and the fact that, you know, how could we possibly let people get so deep into this? But I don't know if you heard the speaker at the bankers' convention at the dinner talking about the extent of the subprime crisis, which I think he related that we have a $10 trillion revenue, gross domestic revenue. 10% of that is related to mortgages. So there's $1 trillion. And then if you actually figure what percentage of those were related to subprime, it was pretty small. And then when you figure that maybe of those properties that might be foreclosed, they still have a value of about 80% of the mortgage. So what's actually at risk was $250 million, I think. It could have been billion, you know, knowing the federal government, but you know, even that is a small percentage of our total revenue in a year. But if we're simply saying, why are we making now the judgment that just because you've had a felony, when in the past it had to relate to these other things, the mortgage lending business or other business-related activities, that you were excluded. Now it's any felony, and I object to that and would like to see it rewritten such that any felony or misdemeanor is tied to that involves the mortgage lending or any aspect of the mortgage lending business or any offense involving breach of trust or fraudulent or dishonest dealing. That is Division 2 of the amendment, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Hales.
Mr. Speaker, I would like to remind the body that is they have promulgated the real estate rules, and anyone who is convicted of a felony may not hold a real estate license. And I would wonder why you would hold mortgage lenders to a lesser standard. I would vote no on the amendment.
Representative Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment, we had a discussion like this several years ago with people that dealt with automobiles. And there are a number of felonies. You know, you and your brother could get in a fight a couple times and you could be charged with a felony for domestic abuse. And it would have nothing to do later in life with the profession that you were trying to be in make a living by. I think that you need to focus the felony on those kind of fraudulent activities that you don't want to happen and not make it just a broad statement.
Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and for the division, I would just remind folks that part of the objective in the criminal statutes is not simply to punish, but it's also to rehabilitate. There's always that hope that if someone has committed a crime, that we would bring them back into society. And to say that you've committed a felony, that you are no longer welcome in our society to hold certain jobs. Now, if it's a felony, how this is written now, if it's a felony involving the mortgage lending business or breach of trust or fraudulent or dishonest dealing, well, then yes, you can't be there. But if you had a felony when you were 19 for something totally unrelated to dishonest dealing, and I think of the how many of our young people get caught up in drugs, to say that 20 years later that person who has found the right way and now has a family and is moving forward with their life, that they're not allowed to enter into this business because 20 years in the past they had a brush with the law, I think is wrong. And as for the real estate issue, I'm glad the good representative brought that forward. Maybe we need to go back and look at that issue and change that, because clearly people should not be involved in this business if they have a felony in issues that are directly related to the business. But to punish people 20 years later for drug dealing, I think there should be some idea that we allow for people to be rehabilitated.
Representative Dockstader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the division, I think given the serious nature of the mortgage lending business, the real estate business, and the climate we're going through today, I think we should not lessen the standard against the amendment in the division.
Further discussion. Representative Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This particular provision was very similar to what they do in the banking industry, where loans are made and people deal with their credit records and that sort of thing. And when you look at a mortgage, that's usually the biggest financial investment of most people. We want the same kind of standards for them that we expect in the banking business, and so I urge the defeat of this proposed amendment.
Further discussion prior to the sponsor. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, we're not lowering the standard. The standard right now is a felony or a misdemeanor involving any aspect of the business. And I believe that's on page 4 at the bottom. And I believe that the words involving any aspect of the business modifies both felony and misdemeanor in that paragraph. So we already say that the felony has to be related to any aspect of the business. I'm simply saying, you know, let's keep that standard, but let's define it more further related to any aspect of the mortgage lending business or any offense involving breach of trust or fraudulent or dishonest dealing. You know, this act regulates mortgage lenders and mortgage brokers, and that's, we have this regulation because there aren't federal rules typically that apply to much of this in Wyoming. However, Congress will certainly be looking at regulation of the mortgage industry, but I'm simply saying let's keep the standard, broaden it out a bit, and then let's tie it to something meaningful. I'd urge your adoption of Division 2.
The motion is to adopt Division 2 of Second Reading Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 44. That can be found on pages 1 of the amendment, page 1, line 20 through 37, and on page 2, line 1 through 12. All of those in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All of those opposed to the amendment signify by saying no.
No.
Division 2 has been adopted. We are now on Division 3. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Division 3, lines 38 through 42 on page 1, goes to page 9 of the bill. And you'll see subparagraph F, lines 4 through 10 on page 9. And this simply says, it's pretty clear, if the fee was originally disclosed as a percentage of the mortgage loan amount and the dollar amount of the fee increases because the mortgage loan amount increases, but the fee as a percentage of the mortgage loan amount does not change, then no redisclosure shall be required unless the fee increased by more than $1,000. This subparagraph is already in Section 114E of this Act, up to line 9 after the word required. The new language is the unless the fee increased by more than $1,000. If a broker or a lender quoted a fee of, say, 2% and the loan was $100,000, and then they were able to, because of an appraisal or whatever reason, borrow $200,000, and the percentage was still 2%, should they have to redisclose that to the buyer? And this amendment, or this section F, simply says that if it's over $1,000, you have to disclose that. I don't know that just because it's – does this just mean that if it's more than $1,000 increase in fee, it should be automatically disclosed? If it's a substantial loan, the loan amount goes way up. I just simply think that $1,000 is probably pretty arbitrary and picked out of the air. If you believe that it should be disclosed, then vote no on this division. I just would like to remove it.
Further discussion. Representative Hales.
Mr. Speaker, normally, mortgage brokers don't, mortgage lenders have a tendency to have loans for those people who are borrowing a smaller amount of money. And $1,000 is a great deal of money to them. Mortgage lenders work with WCDA loans, they work with FHA loans, they work with VA loans, and those are normally subsidized loans. So $1,000 is a great deal of money to those people.
Further discussion.
Call for the question, Mr. Speaker.
The motion is to adopt Division Number 3 to Second Reading Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 44. That is on your amendment lines 38 through 42, and strikes the language on the bill in page 9, strikes the language unless the fee increased by more than $1,000 going through line 10. All of those in favor of Division 3 signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All of those opposed to Division 3 signify by saying no.
No.
Division 3 has failed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move Division 4 of Senate File 44, Second Reading Amendment Number 1, lines 43 through 44. This is a cleanup here. Line 10, or page 10, line 5, simply strikes shall not and inserts cannot, and that makes it consistent with another provision in the Act. I think it's clearer that when the broker discloses it, they don't disclose, I shall not do this. They're going to disclose, I cannot do this, so the borrower clearly understands that. And it's just to make it consistent. Call for your adoption.
Further discussion. The motion is to adopt Division Number 4 to Second Reading Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 44. On your amendment, that is page 1, lines 43 and 44. On the bill, it is page 10. Line 1 removes the word shall not and replaces it with the word cannot. All of those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All of those opposed to the motion signify by saying no. Division Number 4 to Second Reading Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 44 has been adopted. We are now on Division 5.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Division 5, lines 45 and 46 on page 1. If you go to page 13 of the bill, you'll see Section 117 under prohibited practices. This just identifies Roman numeral 7, where it says that no licensee or person required to have a license shall make any statement or provide payment, whether indirectly, directly or indirectly, of any kind to any in-house or fee appraiser for the purpose of influencing the independent judgment of the appraiser with respect to the value of any real estate which is to be covered by a residential mortgage loan. My amendment would take out the words any statement line 10. Now, when you look at the current language without what's amended here in Senate File 44, it says no licensee or person shall make payment to this, you know, any in-house or fee appraiser. This expands it to provide payment, and make any statement. But I'm concerned that any statement is much too broad, especially when I'm led to believe that appraisers are required to see the offer of purchase, which has the purchase price in it, and they also have to certify on their appraisal that they've seen that. Is the very act of the mortgage broker or the lender passing that on to the appraiser a statement that makes them liable? I think it certainly could be argued that it would be. I understand the intent of the amendment such that we don't have people out there influencing appraisers too much because, you know, I mean, we see what's happened in appraisal values. But it also is important for the appraiser to make an independent judgment as to whether that information is relative to their appraisal. Can a mortgage broker no longer say to an appraiser, why don't you look at this as a potential comparable sale? That would be a statement that could be construed as attempting to influence the appraisal. I just think it's too broad, too vague about any statement. It doesn't say oral, written, so it includes everything. And based on what the appraiser's required to look at, I think that this is a pitfall and should just come out. You know, maybe there's some other way to say that, but it would leave that subparagraph as saying that they wouldn't make or provide payment. You know, maybe the better way to say it is that, you know, a broker or a lender will not take actions that are intended to unduly influence the independent judgment of the appraiser. But this language just doesn't work for me, and I'd urge your adoption of Division 5.
Representative Hales.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In-house appraisers have a definite advantage over an appraiser that is not in-house because they tend to see the contract. If you want your appraisal to be independent, the appraiser does not see the contract. That is the normal practice in the business. And there's certainly, if it's an in-house transaction with an in-house appraiser, would be ample opportunity for them to see that contract. What an appraiser is supposed to do is to look for comparables that would indicate the value of a property and would not be influenced by that. But if they can see that contract, nine times out of ten, they're going to come in at that contract price. So they are influenced. I would vote no on this amendment.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I understood the argument about any statement being broad. I also agree it's broad, but it's also clear. And I think it tries to capture any misstatements that could be made, and so I think it should stay in there, and so I would urge your defeat of the proposed amendment.
Representative Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess at this point in time, I also speak against this amendment. While I do recognize what the good majority floor leader is saying, and there might be better language to clarify it, I do believe that this is a very important part of this bill. Any statement is rather broad, but for the time being, I would prefer that this body oppose this amendment, and I would like the opportunity to work with the majority floor leader on a third reading amendment that might not make that as all-encompassing as it probably seems to at this point. So I urge the defeat of this amendment.
Further discussion prior to the sponsor. Representative Brown.
Well, Mr. Speaker, the problem I have here is this amendment says it would make any statement of any kind to an in-house or fee appraiser for the purpose of influencing his independent judgment prohibited. And I believe I heard the good chairman say, well, we want to be sure that there aren't any misstatements. But that sort of begs the question, what about statements that aren't misstatements? What about a discussion with an independent appraiser? That's not a misstatement. It's true. It's accurate. It is. It doesn't ask him not to exercise his independent judgment. It merely is a statement of fact. That's true. It's not a misstatement that one wishes him to take into account as he exercises his independent judgment. I think that would be prohibited. And so I speak on and against the amendment, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Gingrey.
Mr. Chairman, curiosity question, maybe to the Chairman of Minerals or to the good representative from Casper that seems to have so much experience in this issue. Is this bill like a uniform act that's coming from other states, or did we work on this during interim and just come up with these, you know, on our own? I guess the question I'm getting to is, has other states put this into their statutes? Because it seems problematic. I mean, what the majority floor leader says is appears to be accurate to me, that you're going to hand them the buy-sell agreement. It's going to have a statement in there what the amount was, which clearly you could say influences them to pick the right appraisal amount. So it seems like you're setting up the appraiser. I'm just curious if we got this from another state and if other states have had problems by putting this in there.
Representative Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it strikes me that it's about 15 states that have virtually the same kind of language we have here, and the expectations are that through this next year, that number will go to 42. So it's a little bit vague in the specifics of the response, but it are other states. It's very similar, and more are expected. We were not driven by the subprime loan debacle. This, when I say we, the state of Wyoming, but some of the others are, and I'm sure that generates the increased expectation from those who work in this field.
Further discussion prior to the sponsor. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've never heard that this is a uniform act or that those other states that were mentioned were looking to adopt it. What I did hear was that the nationwide mortgage licensing system and database became effective January 1 of 2008, and by January 2nd there were 7 states that had joined, and there were 8 states who were saying they were going to join, along with other states, for a total of 42 states that were going to join that system and database, not adopt a uniform act or uniform provisions. You know, there may be some federal statute out there, a bill that's proposed, but I'm not sure. The good representative from Laramie was obviously confused when he said he was against the amendment. He was for the amendment, and he's smiling and shaking his head yes. I don't agree with the statement that only in-house appraisers get to see the purchase offer. I mean, does that mean appraisers who work for banks have an advantage over any other appraiser? I was led to believe by the department that manages appraisers that all appraisers were entitled to see the purchase offer because there might be things in the purchase offer that would influence the appraisal, such as something, you know, I'm going to pay you $20,000 for your dog kennel, or whatever it might be, you know, the contents of the house. So they're aware what the purchase price is and then what might be itemized out of that. And then, you know, they have access to the multi-list system. Most of them do. But I do agree that any statement is just way too broad here. We're not opening the door. We're kicking the door down. And that's not fair. So I'd urge your adoption of division number 5.
The motion is to adopt division number 5 to second reading amendment number 1 to Senate file 44. On your amendment, that is page 1, lines 45 and 46. On your bill, it is page 13, line 10, to strike the word any statement. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All of those opposed to the motion signify by saying no. Division number 5 to second reading amendment number 1 to Senate file 44 has been adopted. We are now on division number 6. Mr. Majority Floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Division 6, as it stands, would probably be cleaned up with the failure of division 3. So I would just urge your adoption of division 6, and then our staff will clean it up as it shows on the passed amendment.
Further discussion? Seeing none, the motion is to adopt division number 6 to second reading amendment number 1 to Senate file 44. All of those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All of those opposed to the motion signify by saying no. Division number 6 to second reading amendment number 1 to Senate file 44 has been adopted. Senate file 44 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 51.
Senate File 51, introduced by Senator Jennings, an act relating to game and fish regarding mentor-hunter program.
Senate File 51, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 55.
Senate File 55, introduced by the Management Council, an act relating to appropriations for the legislature.
There is an amendment. Representative Dave Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move first amendment reading to Senate File 55 and ask for your favorable consideration. What this amendment does is allows the Management Council to pay for the new legislators coming into the next general session salary. So when they're asked to come and attend the training meetings and when they're asked to come and join in on the committee meetings, it allows them to receive a wage. I think all the freshmen realize how important freshman training is, and I would hope that we all realize how important it is that we go and are able to meet some of the members of both houses when we join in on our joint committee meetings. So I would ask for a favorable yes.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I agree that we should pay the new legislator salary, but they're not officials during the new legislator school. And so I'm concerned that we might have some constitutional problems paying somebody who hasn't been sworn into office a salary, which is why we don't do it now.
Further discussion. Representative McComey.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I too agree that this would be something that should be done, and maybe we could find some way to put them on some type of committee with some language for a third reading amendment, because I do question the constitutionality of this amendment.
Representative Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't think there's a constitutional question here. It simply says that legislators elect shall be compensated. I don't think that's a constitutional question. It's a policy decision. And it's a policy decision that this body should be willing to make. If somebody is willing to sacrifice the time to come down here to Cheyenne and invest their life in this process, we shouldn't ask them to do that at their own detriment. I would ask you to support the amendment.
Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I agree with the last speaker. I don't see a constitutional issue, but I do see an issue where potentially where you have recounts and where potentially you've gone to court and you're fighting over who actually won the election, it puts us in a bad situation, or potentially puts LSO in a bad situation, of having to determine of the two people fighting it out in court or through the recount system, which one do we bring down here and pay for? Because until that day they're actually sworn in, they can keep fighting in the courts up until that day. So I would be concerned that we're placing ourselves in a strange situation. I know that's a bizarre hypothetical, but, you know, you have to think of all the strange things that could happen, and sometimes some elections do run astray.
Further discussion prior to the sponsor. Representative Dave Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, or Mr. Speaker. Remember that all candidates elected are certified by the Canvas Board before they're sent down. It's also my belief that this would have to be approved by Management Council that asks them to come down. But I think the more major issue here, folks, is, you know, we deal with an $8 billion budget. You tell me what company in the country hires employees without providing them some training. It's just essential that they're on board when the first day of the session opens. So I would once again ask for your favorable consideration. Thank you.
The motion is to adopt second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 55. All of those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All of those opposed to the motion signify by saying no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 55 has been adopted.
Mr. Speaker.
Senate File 55 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Mr. Speaker, we have with us today some citizens from Germany who are here in our state on a faculty exchange, student exchange, and joint R&D mission between the University of Wyoming and the University of Pforzheim. And I want to hold your applause, please. I want to introduce him, and I'm going to butcher these names, but I'm going to do the best I can. Dr. Walter Knirth, former Siemens Executive Board. Gunter Hartz, Chairman, U.S. Europe Enterprises. Dr. Werner England, Professor at the University of Pforzheim. And Dr. Hanno Weber, Professor at the University of Pforzheim. Please help me welcome them to the United States and to our state.
The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 67.
Senate File 67, introduced by Representative Nicholas, an act relating to salaries of public officials.
Senate File 67, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 69.
Senate File 69, introduced by the Select Natural Resources, an act relating to wildlife and natural resource funding.
There is an amendment. Chairman Childers.
Mr. Speaker, I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 69 and urge your approval. Ladies and gentlemen, what I am proposing is instead of clarifying the statutes, modifying the statutes, and if you go to page 3, starting on line 5, or actually lines 4 and 5, we change that $200,000 to $100,000 or 25% of the initial legislative authorization, whichever is less. And then on lines 8, changing the language, deleting the language from after the word required all the way through line 12 and changing it to subsequent legislative authorization shall be required for any grant in excess of the limits in of this subsection. And ladies and gentlemen, in talking to the executive director of the trust fund, there are, well, there's unease by the board on how to handle these large projects once you go past the $200,000. And am I saying this amendment is a perfect fix? No. Am I saying that future boards could possibly set up and play games with smaller amounts? It's entirely possible, and for that reason, I will be urging the TRW committee to have an interim study to take a careful look at this. I did go back and look at the original bill and what was vetoed, and that basically was more so small projects and how much money could be spent in 1 year. And I think what we put into the operating account has handled a lot of that. Does it wind up being a large amount of projects? Yes. And it's in some ways it's almost overwhelming for the board for the amount of projects they cover. But from the descriptions that I've heard from the board and from the executive director, I think they've been very diverse. And they've done a good job. And on the large projects, I think it's an issue we need to address. This does take care of a large portion of it. But again, interim committee work, hopefully we can come up with some better ideas. This whole law has proven to be quite good in many people's opinion. Those that had problems with it from the start, have said that it works quite well, And would I deny that it's the makeup of the current board and the way they've been operating? No, I won't do that. And is there a potential problem with future boards? Always. But I think any legislation that we pass, there's always that possibility. But I think the way this whole act has gone forward, I think we're seeing improvements not only in wildlife and wildlife habitat, I think we're seeing improvements in the landscape to the state of Wyoming. And I think we're also including groups of people and younger people that are beginning to recognize the beauty of Wyoming. So again, I urge your approval of this amendment.
Representative Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think this is got us headed in the right direction. However, I've had a concern all along with this concept of the possibility of the agency potentially underestimating or lowballing the cost of a project, knowing that they were going to have budget overruns, and then be able to have some sort of a slush fund to make up the difference. I don't think that's the appropriate way for this body to delegate its ability to appropriate, and just a concern I have, but I am for the amendment.
Further discussion. The motion is to adopt second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 69. All of those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All of those opposed to the motion signify by saying no. Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 69 has been adopted. Senate File 69 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. We are now at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move third reading consent list of Senate File 2, Senate File 3, Senate File 17, Senate File 32, Senate File 49, Senate File 52, Senate File 61, Senate File 64, and Senate File 68.
Are there any members wishing to remove any of these bills from the consent list? The reading clerk will read all of the consent list bills through the enacting clause.
Senate File 2, introduced by Senator Burns, an act relating to the Select Committee on Natural Resources, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 3, introduced by the Travel Committee, an act relating to game and fish regarding funding, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 17, introduced by the school facilities, an act relating to school facilities infrastructure costs, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 32, introduced by the judiciary, an act relating to parole, authorizing changes in the length of parole, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 49, introduced by Senator Von Flattern, an act relating to taxation and revenue regarding impact assistance payments, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 52, introduced by the Management Council, an act relating construction of statutes, boards, and commissions compensation, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 61, introduced by the Education Committee, an act relating to school financing recapture payments, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 64, introduced by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to juveniles' valid court orders, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 68, introduced by Senator Nicholas, an act relating to judicial retirement, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? That consists of Senate File 2, Senate File 3, Senate File 17, Senate File 32, Senate File 49, Senate File 52, Senate File 61, Senate File 64, and Senate File 68. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden, Anderson, Bagby, Berger, Blake, Frechtel, Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Dockstetter.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Esquivel F.
Aye.
Esquivel K.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Hammonds.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Eichel excused. Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jones. Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart, Lubno, Madden, Martin, McComey, Mercer, Meyer, Miller, Millen, Olson, Peterson, Philp, Korberg, Samuelson, Simlick, Shepperson, Simpson, Slater, Stewart, Stubson, Teeters, Thompson, Throne, Wallace.
Aye.
Warren.
Aye.
White.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 ayes, 1 excused. As to Senate File 2, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 ayes, 1 excused. As to Senate File 3, are there any changes? Korberg, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 1 no, 1 excused. As to Senate File 17, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 ayes, 1 excused. As to Senate File 32, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 ayes, 1 excused. As to Senate File 49, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 ayes, 1 excused. As to Senate File 52, are there any changes? Gingery, aye to no. Throne, aye to no. Davison, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 56 ayes, 3 noes, 1 excused. As to Senate File 61, are there any changes? Lubno, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Bagby, aye to no. Are there other changes? The vote is closed. 57 ayes, 2 noes, 1 excused. As to Senate File 64, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 ayes, 1 excused. As to Senate File 68, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 ayes, 1 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 2, Senate File 3, Senate File 17, Senate File 32, Senate File 49, Senate File 52, Senate File 61, Senate File 64, and Senate File 68 have passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 4.
Senate File 4, introduced by the Corporation Committee, an act relating to foreclosure and redemption of realty sold under mortgage and execution, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senate File 4, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson. Bagby. Berger. Blake. Brechtel. Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Dockstetter.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Esquivel F.
Aye.
Esquivel K.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Hammonds.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Eichel excused. Illaway. Yagi,
aye.
Jones,
aye.
Jorgensen,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Mercer.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Millen.
Aye.
Olson.
No.
Peterson.
Aye.
Philp.
Aye.
Korberg.
Aye.
Samuelson.
Aye.
Simlek.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Simpson.
Aye.
Slater.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Thompson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Warren.
Aye.
White.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan. Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 56 ayes, 3 noes, 1 excused.
Senate File 4, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 4 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 9.
Senate File 9, introduced by the Management Audit and Act relating to the Uniform Management of Public Employee Retirement Systems Act, State Retirement Board Immunity, be enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There are some amendments. Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 9. Ladies and gentlemen, I think we finally have this right, and I have to give a lot of credit to the representative from District 30. He and I made a little trip downstairs after adjournment yesterday and spent some time with two attorneys from the AG's office who had a couple of hours to work on this. And lo and behold, there is a statute that I don't think any of us were aware of, 123-107, and it says members in the salient part, members of any governmental board are not individually liable for actions, inactions, or omissions of the board. And then it contains a second provision that says this section does not affect individual liability for intentional torts or illegal acts. And so what this amendment does is strike out the previous language that we put in trying to get it right, and it inserts in the section on the retirement board and in the section on the volunteer firemen's pension board the language that you see down in the middle of this amendment, that individual members of the board are personally liable only to the extent provided in 123-107, which is the section that I just read to you. So the net result of that is this bill said, and it strikes the other language that was in here before. So the net result is that a trustee or fiduciary who breaches a duty is personally liable, but it leaves them not liable for actions, inactions, or omissions of the board. So we all believe that it leaves them exactly where they ought to be, and I would ask your favorable consideration of this third reading amendment.
Representative Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to thank the good representative from La Rami for his persistence and willingness to continue working on this, and I think that we've come up with an elegant solution. Thank you.
The motion is to adopt third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 9. All of those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye. All of those opposed to the motion signify by saying no. Third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 9 has been adopted. We are now on third reading amendment number 2. Representative Brown.
And Mr. Speaker, I withdraw third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 9.
Third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 9 has been withdrawn without objection. Senate File 9 having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson. Bagby. Berger. Blake. Brechtel. Brown. Buchanan. Childers. Kraft. Davison. Dirks. Dockstetter. Edmonds. Edwards. Esquibel F. Esquibel K. Gilmore. Gingery. Goggles. Hales. Hallinan. Hammonds. Harshman. Harvey.
Aye.
Eichel excused. Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Jorgensen.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Lubno.
No.
Madden.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Mercer.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Millen.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Philp.
Aye.
Horberg.
Aye.
Samuelson.
Aye.
Simlek.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Simpson.
Aye.
Slater.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Thompson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Warren.
Aye.
White.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 57 ayes, 2 noes, 1 excused.
Senate File 9, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of members elected to the House, Senate File 9 has passed the House. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that the House resolve itself into Committee of the Whole.
You have heard the motion. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed to the motion signify by saying no. Representative Berger.
Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill, Senate File 7, for our consideration. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 7, introduced by the Agriculture Committee, an act relating to the Animal Damage Management Program. This bill was referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture, Public Lands, and Water Resources, which recommended that it do pass. Ayes, Blake, Brechtel, Dirks, Edmonds, Samuelson, Semlek, Teeters, Wallace, Swanitzer, Dan. Signed, Representative Samuelson, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Representative Samuelson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a recommendation that Senate File Number 7 do pass. Madam Chairman, I'll explain this bill. What it does is just essentially remove the sunset date that we have had in this program for several years. We've been watching it carefully to make sure that it went the direction that we wanted. And, Madam Chairman, if there's any questions, I'd be glad to answer them. If there's not, I'd call for the question.
Question being called. All those in favor of Representative...
Madam Chairman, I'd like to hear a little rationale as to why we didn't just put a different sunset date in and then revisit this board, because apparently we thought at one time or another that it should sunset.
Thank you. Chairman Samuelson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. That's a very good question our friend from Lander asked, but we do this on a lot of new programs. We want to see if they're going to work for 1 or 2 years, and it's a policy question. The group down the hall, they have loved this kind of sunset things for all the years that I've been in the legislature, but I've received a lot of these projects, and I'll tell you, these projects now are starting to pay dividends to this state of Wyoming, and we have just made some real hay with these. In particular, what we didn't want the animal damage thing to do was just be a coyote killing program. We wanted it to be something that was very, very broad-based with this state. A lot of the things that we've been looking at now with the wolves and the research studies on the interactions of wildlife and predators, whether it's sage-grouse and ravens. The list goes on and on, and we found out that this has been so beneficial to the state of Wyoming. It's probably something that's going to be with us for a long time now, especially that wolves have been delisted, the grizzly bears have been delisted. We're going to need research forever. So It works hand in hand with a lot of the things we've been talking about with our Wildlife Trust Fund for the last several years. So it's time that this sunset has been removed, and we haven't had a whole lot of reasons why this program should go away. So I guess it looks like there's a couple more questions. I will stay here.
Chairman Anderson.
Mr. Chairman, would you, thank you, Madam Chairman, would you explain just what is being repealed, 11-6-313? Is that just a sunset date? That's the only thing that's being repealed? Or is there something else contained there in the repealer?
Chairman Salmuson.
Madam Chairman, that's correct. The sunset date is what's being repealed.
Chairman Eichel.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. It seems that in our budget now, we've budgeted close to $6 million that's going to go into the standard budget, as I understand, for this program. Can you tell me how much of that is actually spent on control efforts of killing predators, and how much is spent on research?
Chairman Salmuson?
Madam Chairman, no, I can't. I didn't bring any of that information. I didn't feel that information was germane to the bill, just the removal of the sunset date. Now, on the fiscal note, the budget in the fiscal year 07-08 was $822,000, and $300,000 from the general fund and $522,000 from the agency fund. Madam Chairman, a lot of those, the reason we set that up, there's a lot of those Animal Damage Board that was, that $6 million we talked about, I believe that was, I don't recall if it was 2 or 4 years ago, it has gone to fund many of the different county agencies. We rewrote that complete Animal Damage Board so that we could fund some of these counties that were struggling, that didn't have any. It was always paid for before by mostly predator fees on sheep, and as the sheep industry disappeared from the state, we found out that those predator fees were disappearing. But those numbers, they're easily available, but and they're probably in these two blue documents that I didn't read absolutely from cover to cover. But,
is there any further question, discussion? Are you ready for the question? Okay. Question being called. All those in favor of Representative Samuelson's motion that Senate File 7, excuse me one moment. Do pass. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. A senior moment. Senate File 7 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Chairman Samuelson.
I'm just waiting to move the next
yes.
bill.
I'm going to get my act together here. I'm sorry. The Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill, now we're on the next bill, which is Senate File 8. For our consideration is Senate File 8. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 8, introduced by the Agriculture Committee, an act relating to the Farm Loan Program. This bill was referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture, Public Lands, and Water Resources, which recommended that it do pass. Ayes, Blake, Brechtel, Dirks, Edmonds, Samuelson, Semlick, Teeters, Wallace, Swanitzer, Dan, signed representing Samuelson, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Samuelson.
Madam Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a recommendation that Senate File 8 do pass, and I will defer the explanation of the bill to the representative from District 6, or 6, 1. Sometimes you just want to get away, Madam Chairman.
I understand, Mr. Chairman. Representative Semlick.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, members of the House. The proposed legislative changes that we find in Senate File 8 include three primary areas. Number one, it will increase the overall loan limit per borrower from $600,000 to $800,000. This is in our standard farm loan program. It's been around for a number of years. I will go into a little greater explanation of this program just for some history. The second thing that this Senate file will propose to do is to establish a new loan program within the farm loan program, and that would be called the Livestock Enhancement Loan. This will replace the breeding stock program that will now be discontinued that we established in 2003. We just did not find that it had to do with the drought abatement, and drought abatement just hasn't happened yet. So that would be the second thing it would do. And the third thing that this bill proposes to do is to increase the authorized investment in another existing farm loan program, and that is the beginning agriculture producer. I thought I, just for the benefit of the House, I will go into a little explanation on the new livestock enhancement program that will replace the old breeding stock program. This will be for the purpose of purchasing additional livestock. The establishment of the interest rates and the amount of loan, I'll go into that a little bit more detail as we go through the bill. Now, members of the House, I'll just call to your attention on the first page of the bill under 1134.113, this section J. This is the new provisions that we ask you to consider that will establish the Enhancing or Restoring Livestock Numbers Program. Over on the page 2, you'll see some new language that it will be established for a loan established for a term not exceeding 7 years. Under 114, this is again 1134.114. This is the old standard farm loan program. Borrowers have used it over the years for the purchase of agricultural lands. This is where we've increased the amount of the loan up to $800,000. You'll find that in line 19 from $600,000 to $800,000. Over on page 3, this goes back to the Enhancing or Restoring Livestock Numbers Program. These are two conditions you'll find here in this new language. One is to set a limit on the amount of the loan should not exceed 70% of the appraised value of the security. The second thing it does is it has some criteria in here how the loan will be secured on the borrower's real estate. On line 18, that stricken language, that's where we removed, that deleted language is where we removed the old replacement breeding stock program. On page 4, this is the section in current law where it talks about the rate of interest, the length of loans, and the amount. In that old traditional program, the loan variations have been between 4 and 10%. This kind of simplifies the way that we will calculate the interest in that new language that you'll find on page 4, line 14 and 16. Just talks about that the interest rate will be calculated based on 70% of the lowest current rate set by the board, which for farm loans, and that is at 8%. So that would be 5.6% is what this would be set at. Some new language there in section C. This authorized the investment amount that would be allowed for the beginning ag producer loan. We had it set at $7 million. We have encumbered almost 96%, I believe, of that amount. This has been a popular program, and that amount we've bumped up against that $7 million. We're asking you to consider to make that 10% of the total amount of the farm loan investment, which is $275 million. So there'll be $27.5 million available in that. And, Madam Chairman, the last change would be on page 5. It says that this is the authorization for the Livestock Enhancement Program, the new program that we are proposing for you to consider, and we would propose that that percentage for the investment, authorized investment in that program, would be 20% or at $55 million. So, Madam Chairman, members of the House, that is Senate File 8. I would just point out that for your interest, there is $268 million that was originally allocated for that farm loan. There is still 90% of that remaining balance. And primarily, I guess the reason for that is these higher interest rates that's established in this loan program at 8%, they can go to the private sector and get loans for less than that. So we haven't encumbered a great deal of that. And as I said before, the beginning ag producer loans, there's only 4% of that balance left. So this has really helped out some people, and we just ask you to consider to increase that authorized investment in that program. So, Madam Chairman, that's Senate File 8. Try to answer some questions if there are any. Thank you.
Representative Madden.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chairman. I guess my question centers around whether this provides a usurping of credit business from the private sector. And maybe a broader question is why is the state involved as a financial institution in this regard? I suppose this has been tested from the standpoint of constitutional muster, but it would seem that we're heavily subsidizing recipients of these loans by ultra-attractive interest rates. And I'm just wondering if the provisions that are in Senate File 08 isn't just making the problem a multiple of what it was even prior to this bill. Thank you.
Representative Semlich, do you want to take all of the questions and then respond, or take each individually?
Madam Chair, while that question is on my mind and a great question, the program was really established as kind of a safety net for ag producers, and I think we all recognize, coming from all different parts of the state, that agriculture is very important to a lot of our communities. So we had those interest rates set at 8% in that original loan program. It really provided an opportunity for some people to be able to stay in agriculture, and when the interest rates soared beyond 8 to 10, up to 14% in the late 80s, this really kept some agriculture producers in business and kept them productive in our community. So that's part of the justification. And yes, we are concerned, and we need to be mindful of competing with the private sector at that proposal. That 70% of the 8% interest at 5.6, you know, is that competing? There was some discussion in committee about that, and we are mindful of that. That is not our intent. There was some discussion from one of the organizations that lend money in this state that maybe we should reconsider that, and there's a possibility there might be an amendment coming to address that, because that's certainly not our intent. We feel like the private sector lending institutions in our communities should be the first place where people need to go and support our local lending institutions. So that is a concern. It was talked about in the committee, and we are mindful of it.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. My question goes along the same line, and that is, in that committee discussion, was there any determination by the committee that 70% of the lowest current rate set by the board for farm loans is a competitive rate? And I think that's really my concern, is that going to track this thing along at a competitive rate, or is it going to track it along at an artificially lower rate than those funds could be borrowed somewhere else?
Representative Shepperson.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. Along the same lines, I guess I could see an example of how that is calculated. And also, are there other qualifications to get this loan? Can anyone come and get this type of loan? Are there other stipulations that go along with this?
Representative Simlek.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'm not sure I'll be able to find it rapidly enough. There are some qualifying factors, and it has to do with the percent of value of the secured real estate. So that is a qualifying factor. I did look through the statutes in regard to establishing or enhancing this new program of restoring livestock numbers. There doesn't seem to be, I really couldn't find too much criteria in that. If I can find some more information on that, though, I'll sure let the good representative know, because that's something on a new program we need to be interested in.
Representative Brechtel.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I just wanted to quickly comment to the body that of the testimony, we did have the bankers represented in committee, and actually they were quite all right with this. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Is there any further discussion? Question being called. All those in favor of Representative Samuelson's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, that it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 8 do pass. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate File 8 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 48. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 48, introduced by Management Council, an act relating to administration of government regarding reporting requirements. This bill was referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, which recommended that it do pass. Ayes, Brown, Illaway, Martin, Meyer, Miller, Warburg, Stepson, Zwanitzer, Dan, excused, Gilmore, signed, representing Illaway, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 48, reporting requirements, do pass. And I would like the Speaker to discuss the bill.
Speaker Cohey.
Madam Chairman, members of the House, Senate File 48, while not exactly a reviser's bill, it deals with the amazing amount of reports asked by the legislature in each and every session. Some of these go back for years. Now, if you are as environmentally minded as many of us are, the staggering numbers of trees killed for these reports will amaze you, but without doubt there are some that read each and every report, but most of us don't get around to reading many of them at all. Inside this bill, it covers an awful lot of Wyoming state statute with respect to reports, and you will find them all the way through titles 1, 5, 7, 9, 11, 14, 16, 20, 27, 28, 31, 35, 36, 37, and 39, which indicates that we do ask for an awful lot of information, much of it rarely disseminated by many of us. What this bill does, it really eliminates obsolete and executed portions of statutory provisions. It also conforms amendments to statutory reporting requests. It cleans up reporting requirements and statute that are no longer germane to what it is that we do, and eliminates essentially an awful lot of reporting that just isn't necessary anymore. I could go through each and every one of you, but you can see from the length of the discussion that unless you want an explanation, Madam Chairman, I'd be more than pleased to do that. But I would so ask for your favorable consideration of the passage of Senate File 48.
Okay. Question being called. All those in favor of Representative Illaway's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill Number Senate File 48 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. Senate File 8 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 4. The reading clerk will read the bill.
41, Senate File 41, introduced by Senator Case, an act relating to vacation of plats, vacating subdivisions. This bill was referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, which recommended that it do pass. Ayes, Brown, Illaway, Martin, Meyer, Miller, Korberg, Stubson, Zwanitzer, Dan, No, Gilmore. Signed, Representative Illaway, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of Senate File 41. What is your pleasure? Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. If I may, it was, when you spoke just a minute ago, that was should have been Senate File 48 that did pass. Okay. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a recommendation that Senate File 41, vacating subdivisions, do pass. And I'd like the young attorney from the center of the state to discuss the bill.
Mr. Chairman, and thank you for that notice. I did correct it. It was Senate File 41, and we will now hear from Representative Stubson. Thank you.
Madam Chairman, this bill deals with the ability to vacate a platted subdivision within the confines of a county. As the law currently stands, if there is a subdivision and it is within the city limits or town or the limits of a town, and it has been some of the lots have been sold, you can vacate that subdivision, but only if you receive approval of the city or town. What this does is put that same ability for counties to review proposed vacations of subdivisions. And it's important to note, I guess, that this applies only in circumstances when lots in a subdivision have actually been sold. And the genesis of this bill actually comes from some gamesmanship that has been played in some counties with this rule in folks that are trying to seek the agricultural exemption, and even though they live in a developed subdivision within the county. And the specific example that was brought before the Senate when the bill went through that, went through down the hall, was that there was a subdivision in a county that was fully developed, all lots were sold, had actually been built on, and the owners within that subdivision got together, came in before the county, and requested that the subdivision be vacated. And the county really had no say in that process, and so the subdivision was in fact vacated, but you had a situation where you have roads that are developed and dedicated on the plat. You have other easements for utilities that are dedicated and reflected on the plat, but all of a sudden that just goes away and without any say of the county, and it was all in an effort to get at the agricultural exemption. So what this bill does is say if you can still come in and vacate plats when lots have been sold, but you have to get approval of the county so that they can have a say when it really impacts the use of county resources. So with that, I'd stand for any questions on the bill.
Representative Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I just need a little clarification from the good representative. It is saying here that they need approval. My question is, does it need to be written approval? Can it be a phone call? I'm assuming there's going to be some squabble somewhere in there. So I'm assuming, would the word written help this language, or is it assumed in law that when it's approval, it always has to be written? Thank you.
Representative Stubson.
Madam Chairman, I think it really as written, it leaves it up. I think a county could determine what procedure they want to follow, whether they delegate this to the planning folks in their county, or whether they require an application through the county commissioners. I mean, it isn't specifically dictated in the bill, and I think that leaves some flexibility with counties on how they want to address it.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Pardon me, Representative Brown.
Madam Chairwoman, I think the answer to that question is it have to be. In order to be official action of the county commissioners, it would have to appear in the minutes of the meeting. Now, how they notify the applicant could be maybe through a variety of means, but it's not going to be approval unless it appears in the minutes.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. The citation to 18.5304 on page 2, line 11,
I guess, as just the creation of the subdivision and the allowance of the issuance of the permit. I know I'm familiar with the issue that led to this bill, but I also have a sense that there are some circumstances where a vacation should be allowed where all the owners agree in writing. And just so I'm absolutely sure about the bill, this says even if they all do agree, the county has to approve that. But what if there are no easements and the only thing there is a road that was dedicated to the public like we see in most subdivision plats, and the public has never used the road? Or there doesn't even exist any easement or road or anything other than a simple dedication of the road, but the road was never built. I guess we'd need county approval for all vacations of subdivisions. And I think that that's probably got some ramifications that are hard to identify because they're all manners of subdivisions in Wyoming. Maybe you could just give a little more background on why it should apply in all circumstances if all the owners agree.
Chairman McComey.
Well, thank you, Madam Chairman. Madam Chairman, I believe this what this basically does is say if you filed a plat and you want to vacate that plat, if there's been roads in it that haven't been built or anything else, then the county commissioners could say, would by minute action allow that plat to be vacated. But if there's a plat that's been developed and there are easements and there are roads, then that gives pause for thought to the county commissioners before they would vacate that, because it could have ramifications. Job property descriptions is one of the ramifications that could be there, because they've been defined by lots within a certain subdivision and things like this. And if the subdivision goes away, then those descriptions could go away. So I think that's why this has been asked to be brought before us, to give the county commissioners this type of latitude. Thank you.
Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a curiosity question. So you go before your county commissioners for a hearing, and they have to approve or disapprove. Normally, when we have statutes like this, there's some type of standard that the commissioners look toward, because they're going to, I mean, their first question is going to be asking their attorney, under what circumstances can we deny? I'm just curious. If they've met all the requirements here in the statute, I don't see how they could say no, unless we're saying we're allowing for an arbitrary and capricious decision to be made, and I'm certain we're not saying that. So I'm just curious what the standard is that the commissioners will look at to determine whether or not they can deny. I don't think just taking on the extra burden of road maintenance is a standard.
Representative Stubson.
Madam Chairman, I guess I would disagree that in most circumstances like this, there is a specific standard set out. For example, in this very statute, we have for years allowed cities to make this exact same decision, and we have allowed them to do it on a case-by-case basis and to exercise their discretion in doing so. There certainly is an element of trust built into this this bill that our elected officials on the county level will act responsibly when making these decisions. But we've shown that same faith in cities and towns, and so it seems to make sense that we provide that same authority to the counties.
Question Question being called. All those in favor of Representative Illouye's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 41 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate File 41 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Privilege of the floor, please.
You may have privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Madam. It's not very often we get folks from Natrona County down here. And it gives me great pleasure. We have some students from Kelly Walsh High School. There's actually two classes, a Modern American Studies and an Advanced Placement History class. And their teacher, Ms. O'Brien, Sally O'Brien here on the end. And the students, please rise and give them a welcome to the house. Thank you.
Madam Chairman.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
I move that the Committee of the Whole rise and sit again at 2 p.m.
Are there any committee announcements? Chairman Illouye.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet Thursday, tomorrow at noon in House 18, and we will discuss Senate File 26, Engrossed Business Entities, Registered Agents.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Madam Chairman, your committee number 4, Education, will meet upon adjournment tonight in room 302 to consider the following bills. Senate File 22, Enroll School Facilities Amendments. Senate File 71, Hathaway Scholarship Program Success Curriculum. And Senate File 38, Engrossed People First Language.
Mr. Minority Whip.
Madam Chairman, the House Democrats, along with invited and uninvited guests, will caucus today at the Ramada Hitching Post.
Chairman Landon.
Madam Chairman, your committee number 10, Labor, will meet upon adjournment today in H-17 to hear Senate File 62, Emergency Medical Technicians, Senate File 36, Public Health Emergencies Volunteers, and Senate File 13, Mental Health Professionals Practice Act Amendments.
Chairman Edwards.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, will meet Thursday, tomorrow afternoon, February the 28th, upon adjournment to discuss Senate File 84, Fireman's Pension Account Amendments, Senate File 83, Retirement Rehired Retirees, and Senate File 88, Engrossed Immediate Inmate Medical Parole.
Chairman Samuelson.
Madam Chairman, your committee number 5, Agricultural, State, and Public Lands. Excuse me, Madam Chairman. And Water Resources, I guess I need some of that water now. We'll meet tomorrow morning, Thursday at 8 a.m. in room H11 to consider the following bills. Senate File 58, State Trust Land Management Account. Senate File 27, County Nuisance Abatement Authority. And Senate File 56, Ominous Water Bill Construction.
There being no further announcements, the Committee of the Whole will be in recess until Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. The House Republicans will caucus at the Country Club immediately following dismissal.
Now I believe there being no further announcements, the Committee of the Whole will be in recess until 2 p.m.